A student was learning how to write sermon topics, and so his professor looked him over and told him that his sermon topics weren't very good, and he told him that he needed to make them so good that we can take your sermon outline and post it out on the sign in front of the church so that the people coming by will see that sign and they'll want to come in and hear the sermon. So later on, the professor went by the church and he read the sign and it says, "There's a bomb in your bus. Come in." How many of you watched the news on April the 15th and saw what they called the blood moon? How many saw that? Have you been reading your Bible? Acts 2:20. "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." The way I understand it, I've heard it that there are four blood moons that are to come. This could have been number one. But there are signals in the sky that we are nearing the coming of the Lord. So sometimes the news does bring encouragement. And I trust that you will think about that and make sure that you're ready to go to be with the Lord. I still get the publications from the publishing house and from the ministry department. And it was very interesting. They had an article in there about Dr. Brzee about a couple months ago. And I was interested in some of the things that Brzee insisted upon. Maybe some of these will help you. Number one, be on time for the service. Number two, for the minister, start your service on time. Three, make announcements brief. Four, always give opportunity for the people to seek the Lord. Five, have the people fill in the front seats and leave the back seats for strangers. That's a good one, too. Come to the service prayed up and take part in the song service. And then as an encouragement down here, this is what Brzee gave as advice to his congregation. He encouraged them to say amen out loud. He said that will boost the preacher. Second, it says that he encouraged his people to clap their hands when they sing. And I saw we did that, some of that, in the last few Sundays I was here. I'm glad to see that. That brings enthusiasm. And he urged everyone to put life and enthusiasm into service. And he often says, "Please do not sit there like a bump on the log. Consider yourself a part of the service and always rally around the altar for prayer when there are seekers and pray the glory down." No wonder they had good services in the glory barn there in Pasadena under Dr. Brzee. They sure did the right things, I feel, that helped to bring the glory down in our services, and that's what we really want. Well, let's look at the word tonight. I'm in John's Gospel, chapter 5, if you're interested in turning to the scripture. I'm going to read a few verses there. John, chapter 5. "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in this condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The question I want to consider is found in verse 6. Will you be made whole? This is a very interesting question. It's a question that demands a verdict. Each one of us here tonight will cast our vote for the verdict. We cannot escape it. First, we need to look at some questions to properly understand what Jesus was getting at. The first question is, what kind of healing did Jesus offer this man? And of course, the answer is very easy. He offered to heal him physically. The second question, do I believe that Jesus can heal us of physical problems? Well, that's an easy one, too. I could no more doubt Jesus' ability to heal today than I could doubt that I'm standing behind this pulpit tonight. Jesus did heal real people. Well, the third question is, do I believe that Jesus always heals the body today? Now, that's a little more difficult question, isn't it? And to be very perfectly honest with you, I got to answer that question by saying no. There are times when Jesus does not elect to heal the body. Well, here comes the last question, question number 4, that I know you all want to ask. Why doesn't Jesus always heal? You want me to answer that? Well, you've got me there. I do not know. I cannot give to you just some simple answer to this question. I know there are those who say if people are not healed by faith, there's something wrong with their faith. That may be true. It may not be true. There are others who say if people are not healed by faith, there's sin in their life. And here again, I must say that that's not necessarily always the case. In the New Testament, I want you to note, not everybody was healed. We look at Paul as one of the giants of Christians in the New Testament. And this man had what we were informed as being a thorn in the flesh. And we find in scriptures that he prayed 3 times that the Lord would deliver him from this. And wouldn't you know it, 3 times God said no. And you will search the scripture as long as you want, and you won't find that Paul ever asked that question to God again. He lived with it for the rest of his life until he died. But God gave him something better than healing. Now, isn't that good news? God can give us something better. He gave him a very wonderful promise. You can read it in your Bible. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and your strength will be made perfect in weakness." Carry that verse with you when you think that nothing's happening in your life. My friend, if you are sick in body and you are a believer, you have every right to seek for healing through the mercies of Jesus Christ. But if Jesus does not elect to heal you, he has something better, I believe, in store for you. There's not a one of us here tonight that have not learned how to handle some degree of suffering and pain at times. And this is the realization of the fulfillment of this prophet. He will glorify his name in your sickness. and he will bless you abundant in measure. It's simply not fair. It is not true. It is not biblical to say that everyone does not receive healing, has unconfessed sins, or is lacking in his area of faith. Now, some churches emphasize that. If you're not healed, it's something you've done, it's your fault, and God can't heal you. However, there are cases where sickness and sin are related. I believe it was so in the life of the man here in the scripture. We read it together. In verse 14, it says later that the man's healing, he met Jesus in the temple, and Jesus gave him this warning when he said to him, "Behold, you are made whole. Do not sin, lest a worse thing happen to you." In this case, the only conclusion that we can come to is that there was a connection between this man's sin and his sickness. And sometimes that is our case today. There are some people sick that ought not to be sick. They could be healed very soon if only they would get right with God and their fellow man. But the most important factor in this story is that Jesus healed this man spiritually. He made him whole in the truest sense of the word. The question today is, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? Do you truly want to be healthy? And the most important experience in this mortal life is the experience of having our hearts cleansed from all sin. It is good to see healthy, strong people here in our church tonight. But one of these days, unless the Lord comes first, our bodies are going to weaken, and even to the extent that we may die. And that means that the most important question is, are you willing to be made whole in your soul? Not just the physical part of you, but the spiritual part of you. There are problems related to physical healing, as we have discussed. But there need be no problems in relation to our spiritual healing. God can spiritually heal you the moment that you come and confess to him. Amen. The message is to the whosoever will. He doesn't exclude anyone. And there's no reason why everyone in this service tonight should not be healed in our soul. And without that kind of healing, the Bible says that no man shall see the Lord. The tragedy is, again and again, when faced with this question, the question of spiritual healing, we make the same kind of response this man made here in the scripture. Notice the first thing that this man said and Jesus challenged him about. Excuse number one. He said, "I want to get down to get healed, but I have nobody to help me." For 38 years, on the words, he said, "I have watched other people being helped into the pool." If you were here this morning with a hungry heart, you cannot say, "I have no one to help me." Because in every service, there are people willing to reach their hand of compassion and help you to find the Lord. There are people all around you waiting to help you. But even if there was no one to help you, let me tell you that God's wonderful Holy Spirit is here to do his work in our hearts and in our lives. And because that man ever lives to make intercession for us, he is able to save to the uttermost to them that call upon him, Hebrews 7:25. Don't ever say that you don't have any person to help you. You have the greatest man that ever lived who is willing and able to come into your life and transform your life. There are some people who believe today that even he is unable to help. I've talked to some people who believe that even God is unable to heal them because they don't happen to be of the elect. I say to that, what a melancholy theology. Election is a very important biblical truth in the Bible. It's not easy to understand, but sometimes people try to overcomplicate it. Let me illustrate. A preacher was walking down the street on Monday morning and met a young man who had just started his first church and preached his first sermon. The older pastor came to him and said, "Young man, did you have a good day preaching yesterday?" And he said, "Yes, sir. I believe the Lord helped me. But I've been thinking about the sermon I preached, and it bothered me." And the old preacher said, "Well, why is it bothering you?" And the young preacher said, "Well, I believe I might have offered salvation to someone who is not of the elect." The old pastor put his hand upon his shoulder and said, "Lad, I would not worry if you happen to get the wrong man saved. The Lord will forgive you for it." You see, we have a salvation that's free for everybody. It doesn't subtract anybody out from making it when you call upon the name of the Lord. You see, sometimes we complicate the truths of God. Listen to this wonderful promise. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." You see, God has elected all men to be saved by faith. That means that everyone that believes may be this evening saved from your sins. If you're not saved, it's because you refuse the offer. It's not God's fault that he hasn't elected you. Let's notice excuse number two. I can understand this man saying to Jesus, "If you had been laying here for 38 years like I have, in my physical misery, nobody's healed around here unless the waters are troubled." Notice what he's looking for. He's looking for an emotional experience. There are those who believe there must be some emotional experience in order for us to be saved. There must be some emotional experience for us to be healed. Now, I believe in real repentance, but we can shed tears by the gallon and still not be saved or healed. It's not the tears. It has nothing to do with the outward expression. It has to do with the heart. There are those today that believe there must be a certain external manifestation or sign before they can know the fullness of the experience that we seek. But my dear friends, the things that matter is not the external experience. It is the inward purity, the cleansing that you need to feel when by faith you totally surrender everything to God. You talk about surrendered. One guy at the altar said, "You mean I have to do that to know the Lord?" Absolutely. We are not our own. We are bought with the price. It's surrendering ourselves to him. The question is still, do you want to be made whole? As I read this story, it comes to me that my wholeness depends upon my willingness. Am I willing to be made whole? Listen to this statement. I'll repeat it twice so it will click in your brain. We cannot will ourselves to be whole, but we cannot be whole without being willing. That's a tricky little question, but let me say it again. We cannot will ourselves to be whole, but we cannot be whole without being willing. There must be a contract between us, God, where we're willing to surrender to him. What I am saying is that there are people who have gone through all kinds of feelings of religion, but they have not yet been made whole. There are some people who have read all there is to read on the subject of salvation and holiness, but they are still not whole. They are not whole yet because they are not willing to be made whole. Wholeness depends upon our willingness to surrender to God. Let me illustrate it this way. There was a young couple that came to get married. And they stood before me, and I began to read the marriage service, and I came to this very important question that we need to ask every young man. Will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? And he was silent. So I thought, maybe I better make the question a little plainer. I said, do you want to marry the girl? And the young man looked at me and said, why do you think I'm here? Now, I must admit, when that one young couple comes and stand before me, it does sound like a dumb question. Do you want to get married? Sure, that's why they're here. You can just look in their eyes. You know they want to get married. But I dare not pronounce them husband and wife until both of them answer that question. Because it's a question of the will. Now that is the same kind of response Jesus is waiting for. A clear response of our will. There must be a total response of the will. I will serve you. That's the song we sing, a Bill Gaither song. I will follow you. I will do this. That is surrendering my rights to do what God wants me to do. And I think the reason is that Jesus insists that every cord that has ever bound this man to his old life had to be cut. The place at the pool where he stood those 38 years was to be known to him no more. If you have sought the Lord for wholeness of heart before without finding it, the chances are there's a bed still lying by the pool somewhere. If you're not whole, it is because something is in your life in the past that you're not prepared to give up. If we are to know this cleansing of heart and this wholeness, we must bid farewell to the ways of the world. If you don't want to be made whole, all you're doing is binding the hands of God. He can do nothing as long as you are not willing to yield yourself to Him. But if you want to be whole, God will move every grain of sand to bring you that wholeness of heart and life. That's a simple gospel message. I thought of the hymn writer, I must go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. I must needs go on in the blood-sprinkled way, the path that the Savior trod. If I ever climb to heights sublime where the soul is at home with God, the way of the cross leads home. Then I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For my Lord says, come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. Yes, it's only the way of the cross that will lead us home. Aren't you glad that you have found the wholeness that God, only God, can give us in our spiritual walk because we have surrendered everything to Him? In this case, this man was made whole. Jesus left the area. He had the religious leaders come and said, who did this to you? And he says, I don't know. Oh, I know that I've been made whole. And then what did Jesus, when he met up with them again, he said, don't go and tell anybody else, lest a worse thing happen to you. You see, the critics of the world will always try to find out who's doing the good. If you're doing too much good, they'll want to get rid of you. Jesus always was able to escape those that would take his life. I trust that we know him and that we're ready. That when the four blood moons are past and the Lord comes, you'll be ready to go with him because you've been made whole in your soul. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of sharing the great truths of the Word of God, that we can be made whole in our soul. Thank you for Jesus giving us this beautiful illustration to help us here in 2014. Nothing has really changed. It's still the same. And we still must find the people that need to be made whole. Help us to let our light so shine before others that they may see our good works so that we may glorify our Father which is in heaven. Be with each one of us as we go out in our world this week. Help us, Lord, to let our light so shine for you, we pray in your name. Amen. I thought of an illustration how that we can let our light shine. At times, working for the funeral home, I'm called to pick up bodies, and some time ago, I was called down in the strip behind the malls there to pick up a lady who had passed away. And the husband was so broken. And as I came in to finish up everything and talk with him, he was just sobbing. And I took my ministerial advantage and I said to him, "Sir, would you like me to pray with you?" And he said, "Would you?" And I prayed with that man there who was in deep sorrow. You don't know how many opportunities we get, whatever our occupation is, that when the door is open and God opens the door, we need to step in it and be Jesus to someone. I don't know what faith he was. I at least did go back and tell my boss what I'd done because I didn't know if I was supposed to do that or not, but he never questioned my will of doing what my heart told me to do. Let's be Jesus this week to someone who's hurting. We're going to run into people, and we need to be ready. Be ready with an answer always to give for the hope that lies within you. Go out and be Jesus in your world this week. God bless you.